Thought you were an employee out here playing as well.
We're talking majors, tour drama, and the rounds we wish we didn't have to post. This is On the Tee, alongside PGA Tour Live Stephen Watson. Here's Gabe Neitzel.
Year 6 on the tee. Gabe Neitzel, Stephen Watson from PGA Tour Live.
Year 6.
Hard to believe, right? They keep letting us do it. Keep bringing us back for more and more and more.
Turns out people really like golf in this state.
They do. They do. We were just listing off courses for Homer. But not like the top tier ones. You know, like the ones that we love, our friends over at Erin Hills or the Straits or basically anything up at Sand Valley, because those are a little, you know, there's a cost that's associated with those.
Yep.
So he was looking for like top public courses that, you know, as he put it, people who go to Aldi would go to. So we were trying to come up with that list for our friend Homer, which is very much on brand.
He should have just sat down and joined us for the full hour. We probably could have listed courses for the entire hour of great public golf.
And it probably would be like
state.
Our most downloaded episode.
Yeah, that's fair.
People
love them. People love lists.
They do.
In golf.
They do. Whether it's top lists, bottom lists, they just absolutely love lists. And what we're 10 weeks into the PGA Tour season.
Yeah.
Right? And, of course, pretty big tournament coming around the corner. We won't spend too much time. I don't want to, like, get distracted.
Is this going to be like last year, the Ryder
Cup? With the Ryder Cup.
We talked about it for 3 to 4 months before.
Yeah.
And then we got to the actual preview show, and we're like, I think we've talked about these.
and then, you know, after, we just kept yelling about it, too. Or by we, I mean me.
Yeah, just you. I was here to support you, too.
Yes. So we'll certainly get to, you know, Masters content. Maybe not this week necessarily on the tee, but we both have plans to go down there.
Yeah.
So I think before and after, we should have some pretty fun stuff kind of planned for that. But we're 10 weeks in. We've had some pretty significant events. We've got a couple in Texas now. Scottie Scheffler not going to be playing this week because, well, his wife Meredith expecting their second child.
Yeah, watch out. You know, when Scottie has a kid, he tends to go on a run after.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, Scottie just has a tendency to go on a run, period. Like, he doesn't really need a reason.
It's been a shaky start to his PGA Tour season.
He's already won.
Been a shaky
like,
start.
I've heard that about Scottie. He won the Amex. He won the second event of the year.
Yeah.
What, a shaky start because he...
I mean, he went 11 straight months with nothing worse than a tie for eighth. Think about that.
Yeah,
11
well,
months.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, like, so we're a little spoiled here.
I understand.
In the
like,
Scottie world.
I wasn't expecting him to just finish top five every week, especially when, you know, he was playing like you or me in the first round and then would have to scramble to make the cut and then somehow still make the top 10. That was a pattern there for a moment.
Yeah. He hasn't gone 4 straight events without a top 10 in 3 years. Think about that. That's how incredible he has been.
So good. What is your top story right now through 10 weeks?
Yeah.
What is your top story on the PGA Tour?
Well, the new schedule, I think, is the most significant thing. Brian Rolapp putting his stamp as the new CEO of the PGA Tour and, you know, with a new vision for what this sport is going to look like for the foreseeable future. He held this big press conference the Wednesday before players. I had an opportunity to be down there the weekend before for Bay Hill. There's a lot of buzz around that building. Nobody knew what was coming out. Nobody knew what that press conference was going to be about. Everybody was worried they're going to get fired. But instead, it turned out to be, oh, this guy's got his vision, and he's going to unleash his vision. And it was interesting. He didn't do the press conference at the players.
No, he did it
at the tour building.
Correct.
Granted, that's about, you know, a quarter of a mile walk down a path.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that was a big a big moment for Rolap. A lot of these things had been out there in the off season of things that we were going to expect, you know, fewer events, more signature events, higher purses, a way to get the best golfers around to avoid what happened at the Cognizant Classic in the Palm Beaches this year, where guys saw their opportunity to take a week off before consecutive signature events.
Well, the problem is you had consecutive signature events out west.
Exactly, yeah.
Then you're traveling to Florida.
You're doing Pebble to Genesis,
yeah.
And then you start the Florida Swing at what has been an incredible venue for a long time. It was the Honda Classic before the Cognizant Classic, one of the most difficult tests on the PGA Tour schedule. Guys love to go to PGA National, and then all of a sudden it's falling victim to what we've seen throughout the last couple of PGA Tour seasons. You get into the middle of the summer, and it's almost like the dog days of summer. And I think Brian Rolap wants to get to the point where we're avoiding those throw-em events.
Yeah, and I think my biggest, I guess, takeaway, if we're going to talk about Rolap, first of all, I'm excited for him. Just seems like he's going to be a pretty competent leader.
Yeah.
Like, seems to be somebody who just kind of gets it. And coming from the NFL world, and I guess that's the biggest example. I don't know if you watched. Did you watch Chasing Sunday?
Yes.
So if you're
NFL
unaware,
documentary.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was an NFL Films documentary. It's available on YouTube. You just search Chasing Sunday, and it pops up. But Rolap brought in the NFL Films crew, and, I mean, to me, put Full Swing to shame. Like, how quickly they did that, the quick turnaround. Because think about Full Swing. Like, when Full Swing was coming out on Netflix, it took them, and granted, there were more episodes, right? Like, this was just an hour long on one tournament, and that was multiple episodes, but still, you would be going into a season, kind of a recap of what happened the season previous. This, I feel, it was just, the production quality was fantastic. I mean, think about NFL Films and the reputation they have, and Rolap went, oh yeah, I'm going to bring them in here. They're going to just blow this thing out of the water, and they did. It was awesome. It's free on YouTube, so check it out. So that's just an example to me of, oh, this guy, he wants to do things to kind of shake it up a little bit to show, hey, maybe we haven't been doing the best that we can to kind of showcase our talent, to showcase our guys, put out things that our fan base really wants. And I think that video is an example.
Yeah.
I don't know if his vision is going to be a reality for 2027, though. I guess that's my big concern, because it seems like he wants to put in some pretty big changes, and it turns out this is a pretty big ship, and you can't just really... It takes a while to kind of turn that steering wheel to get it going in the direction that you want.
Yeah, I just to go back to your comment about the Chasing Sunday, I do think that those videos were for different audiences.
Oh, 100%.
Netflix versus 100%. Chasing Sunday. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important to know, like, Netflix was to get people involved in golf, interested in the game, the storylines, the faces that you see, you know, the feel-good people to root for. Chasing Sunday was for your niche golf audience that says, you're a sicko and you want to watch mic'd-up conversations with players and caddies and moments, and you know who all these guys are, and you're going to love them even more, and you're going to get to know them even more.
I thought I liked Joe Grinder before. Oh, I really like Joe Grinder now. He was the star.
He was like the Joel Damon, you know, Full Swing.
Yes, yeah, because he was...
He's going to have his own fan base now.
The caddy, by the way, if you don't know who Joe Grinder is, he is the caddy for Akshay Bhatia. Yeah.
And formerly Max Homa before that.
Yeah,
for a long time.
The conversations that him and Akshay were having were just tremendous. Like, they have this long conversation, I know it was making its rounds on social media too, on what club to hit on 17.
Yeah.
Kind of, okay, do we want a pitching wedge? He wants to say it should be 9. Having this, the full conversation gives you, okay, this is what these guys are thinking about, and this is the headspace of a, again, that Akshay's a high-level guy. He had won Bay Hill the week before.
Yep.
And now here he is trying to win his first Players, and here are the conversations.
And the fun thing is he goes from winning Bay Hill, where he won it, by coming back from, you know, 5 strokes down on Sunday, to come back and win it by playing super aggressive, playing boldly, as Arnold Palmer would say, on his property. And then the next week it flips, and you just see the mental struggle that these guys deal with round in and round out, not even a week in, week out, and how important that caddy-player relationship is. I do want to just run through, in case, I mean, I imagine people who are listening to this show are pretty familiar with what Rolap said, but just to give the quick bullet points of the changes that are going to likely be coming to the PGA Tour. Yeah. So it's going to be a late January to early September golf season, 21 to 26 events. That includes the majors, the players, and the postseason. So right there, that's four majors. Mm-hmm. The players would be the fifth major.
Yep.
And then if the postseason stays the same, that's three.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked.
So that's
if...
eight of those 21 to 26 events right there. And then they have eight signature events right now. He wants to double that up to 16. So mm-hmm. you're looking at 16 signature events plus those eight, right?
Mm-hmm.
And... right there, that puts you at 24.
Yeah.
That kind of feels like the wheelhouse that he's aiming for. But the most important thing is signature events right now, they're all a little bit different. Feature 70 golfers, roughly. Mm-hmm. He wants 120 player fields with cuts.
With cuts, which I think is important. It's something that I feel, I don't know whose idea it was to do no cuts. And it's worked to, you know, varying levels of success. And I understand the thought process of it. Of, hey, we want to make sure our stars are here and our stars are sticking around for the weekend. But if your stars are just kind of hanging on the back of the field, that's more or less just something for the fans in attendance. And I think a lot of fans are probably showing up for pretty big events in these towns that they're in, regardless.
I do find it funny that the three signature events that do have cuts.
Yeah.
Bay Hill,
mm-hmm.
Arnold Palmer.
Yep.
Memorial, Jack Nicklaus. Genesis,
Tiger Woods. But those are the type of guys, because Tiger has talked about, and he's on one of these committees, you know, the Future Competitions Committee, about, you know, what some of this is going to look like, what the schedule is going to look like, and he has been a big proponent of cuts.
Yep.
Understandable, seeing as how, you know, he made how many ever straight tournaments.
Yeah.
Without, you know, missing a cut.
Absurd. They want to open big, so they want to start at a big venue on the West Coast. My guess is that's going to be Phoenix, maybe Pebble, you know, something... big to start off the year. Phoenix seems like the obvious one. Like, you start with a party.
Phoenix or Pebble makes sense to me. Because I don't think Pebble... because some of there's been, also been talk, because Tiger was talking about, at the Genesis, about maybe having that event moving. Right?
Like that feels could like be, a playoff event.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, hey, maybe this type of golf course, in different conditions, in the summertime, it's going to sing a little bit differently. Pebble feels kind of locked into early season to me. Just because, they've got other things. Like, it's a tent pole for the USGA.
Yep.
They're having, you know, X amount of U.S. Opens there and on the women's side. And so it kind of feels like that's already taken care of in the summer. You don't want to get that too close to a playoff event. So that still seems like, to me, like that is a possibility to open the season.
Yeah.
Like, even though we get some bad weather from time to time at Pebble, like that still, Pebble, Phoenix seem to be the two obvious ones to me.
Yeah, I agree. Major markets, they want to get to big cities. This is definitely the NFL mindset of Rolapp coming out. I mean, it is outrageous that there's not a regular PGA Tour event in Chicago, Philadelphia.
New York, Boston.
I mean, it's crazy. It's a very obvious low-hanging fruit of a way to build your audience, build excitement. It might help prevent what we just saw at the Ryder Cup, too, with that fan base in New York.
Sure.
Prevent that for years to come. This is the one I'm most fascinated about is promotion and relegation.
Yes.
They want to treat the PGA Tour field like the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not playing well, you can get relegated. Like, I think your top, 50 to 75 golfers are going to be safe, but you talk about the guys who are playing really well in the Korn Ferry Tour or whatever that all looks like moving forward, it creates a good storyline for not just making cuts onto the weekend, keeping your dang tour card year in and year out.
So this one is also really interesting to me, Stephen, because I'm curious about how some of the things that have been a big part of what the tour is, what are going to happen with some of these things? Some of the exemptions, sponsors exemptions.
Yeah, I think those are going to go away.
Are those going to go away? If you win a PGA Tour event, are you going to get the two-year exemption? Maybe. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Like, this is
all great questions.
I'm guessing the stacking of them is going to go away. Like, if you win an event and then you win another event, that ends up not just being, you have 2 years still. It's like, well, no, you have 2 years, but then because you won another event, now you get another additional year. The way they've kind of stacked them and the math gets kind of weird on some of that. If you really start digging deep and doing the math, it's very strange. I'm guessing a lot of that's going to go away.
Yeah. You know, the sponsor exemption thing is fascinating because there are a lot of CEOs whose companies pay a lot of money just so he has the opportunity to have Jordan Spieth in his foursome, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's business,
mm-hmm.
right? You're trying to keep the CEOs and people of power happy, so they spend money. And yeah, I think that's going to be a really interesting storyline moving forward.
Yeah, I think that's fascinating to me.
With those guys. And then the final, you know, bullet point is enhancing the postseason, kind of what we talked about. Like right now, they do the FedEx St. Jude because FedEx is the presenting partner. They go to Memphis where it's 115 degrees.
The Swamp Ass Invitational.
Yeah. Yeah, the Lucas Glover. Don't wear
khaki,
your
man.
Khaki pants open. But it's something we've talked about over past years of how we would make the postseason better.
Mm-hmm.
The introduction of match play and some sort of bracket style way to do things differently, I think it's innovative and it's something that could make the PGA Tour Championship or the FedEx Cup Championship a little bit more exciting is that match play style.
And I think there's another overarching thing, and I'm just going to say it here because I think it also fits into the postseason. Venues matter.
Yeah.
Venues 100%. Matter. And where they're playing, right now the playoffs are, you go to Memphis, it's not a great golf course.
We watched Rory skip a playoff last.
Yeah, he skipped that.
Yeah.
And then they rotate. They've hit some decent ones with the BMW, the old Western Open with the yep. BMW. That's been hit or miss. Some are good, some are bad. And I think everyone's just kind of over Eastlake at this point.
Yep.
Which is why I think you're going to see some of these events potentially. Again, I don't know if it's the Tour Championship. I don't know if it's that middle event. Maybe it's the first event out at Riviera. But in prime time, on the West Coast, you know, or you put it on the West Coast, so East Coast, Central Time Zone, that's more in prime time. Like, that seems more appealing because that's one of the best golf courses in the country, Riviera Country Club out in LA.
Yeah, and you know what? Selfishly, it sets up really well for us in Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
you know, to potentially get some of our great courses back in the mix. A Whistling Straits, an Erin Hills, these golf courses that could maybe host some of these things late into a season if they completely shake this thing up.
My biggest hope is the PGA moves back.
Well, yeah.
Which I think is a possibility. It just seems like there seems to be a little bit more chatter about that.
Yeah.
And
we just need the tour to buy the PGA of America and just end this bad boy.
That's the dream. Again, but right now it doesn't have an identity.
Yeah.
And that's part of the reason why we ended up having the conversation, and the tour forced it, saying, oh, this March is going to be major, you know, trying to force the players into the major conversation. The players has more of an identity right now than the PGA. The PGA is just kind of lost in May. It's just kind of there. Yeah, it's a major,
well,
but it's...
I think you talk about venues mattering.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, oh, 100%.
TPC Sawgrass is a great venue.
It especially.
Great on television.
Oh, especially.
It always delivers.
He's a little brown this year.
Yeah.
He's a little brown, Steven.
Yeah,
I understand. There's guys like Chewy. Chewy loves the green. Oh, he wants everything to be Augusta green.
He's Mr. Overseed.
He's Mr. Overseed. He thinks everything's got to be green and look lush. He doesn't understand. When things get brown, that's when things get spicy.
You see those greens at Bay Hill? They were so fast.
They were purple.
They were white. It just looked like it was straight glass.
It makes that Akshay shot even better. It is the season premiere. We are excited to be back here on the tee. And, of course, our friends at Erin Hills are back once again as a partner. We'll be out there later this year. I'm sure we'll be out there a couple of times throughout the course of the year. But what we love, Stephen, about Erin Hills, obviously it's a great golf course. It's hosted just about every, and if it hasn't hosted every USGA championship, just be patient because more are coming.
Yeah. It's good they have this summer off.
Yeah, right? They do
like
have
they
this summer off.
This summer off.
They did earn the summer off.
They've been hosting major events every single year.
So it's a great golf course, but it's the people to me that separates Erin Hills.
Yeah, hospitality, it's second to none. It's a 5-star experience. You walk on property, they know your name.
Still a goal of mine. I got to stay at one of the cottages. Maybe I'll get that
this
done.
This is the year.
Maybe I'll check that off this year. If you want to stay in the cottages, you want to play golf out there, check out the Drumlin. Just go to erinhills.com. On the Tee rolls on after this.
Back to the course and On the Tee with Gabe and Steven after this on 94.5 ESPN.
Season premiere on the Tee. And it's hard to believe, Steven, but, I mean, I wasn't even here for it. So I don't know how much you enjoyed that snow we got. I mean, that snow was still on the ground a week ago.
Yeah, we're getting closer.
Could be people who have tee times. I know a lot of golf courses that are opening, or even opened this past weekend. A lot
I
of courses in the
60s
county.
60s in the forecast.
Yeah. We're gonna be playing golf before you know it here in the great state of Wisconsin.
Can't wait to see the ball fly. I'm done with simulator golf. I don't do it very often, as you know.
Yep.
But when I do it, I think I dislike it more and more every time I do it.
Just don't like seeing the ball hit the screen.
No, because I care too much. I care too much.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, if I'm with you or, you know, other buddies, and they're just like, the score doesn't matter. Yeah, but I still want to like see the proper numbers. I want to feel good about my swing.
Sure.
And instead, it just throws a bunch of data in front of my face that says, yeah, you really don't hit the ball far. Your ball speed's terrible. good luck this season. Like, that's for my mental.
That's where you're, yeah. So maybe you should avoid the
yeah, I just need to go outside and you see my golf ball fly. And, yeah. Why do we live here? Why do we do this to ourselves?
Because the golf?
It's only March, and, like, realistically, if we get on the golf course in, what, 2 weeks, that's a win, right?
Yeah. Again, there are a lot of golf courses that are open. Like, I think Brown Deer's opening this weekend in the county.
Wow.
Dretzka, I was talking with the head pro, buddy of mine.
But, like, we're going to have another April snow. It's science here. This is how it works.
No, we're done with snow. It might be cold. We're done with snow now. We got dumped on.
I can't wait for episode 3 or 4.
No, we're done with snow.
We're going to talk about the blanket of snow that we just got.
Yeah, no, we're done with snow.
This is... I hope you're speaking it into existence.
It was a harsh enough winter.
Yeah, it was terrible.
And honestly, it wasn't
December
even,
was February.
Yeah, it wasn't even that harsh of a winter, but the previous ones had been so mild that it felt a little more hard. Like, it was just a typical winter, if we're being completely honest. Until the, you know, snowmageddon, especially up north. Like, the snowmageddon that, I mean, we got how much here? Again, I missed it all. I was in Vegas. Flew out before it
left. Must be nice.
I flew out before it snowed, and when I came back last Thursday, most of it was gone.
Wow.
It was fantastic. But yeah, I think we're going to be playing golf. I don't think we're...
Forget the Farmer's Almanac. I need the Knight's Almanac.
I'm just telling you. I think we're going to be playing... Yeah, it might be cold. That's part of golf in April.
Yeah, but it's a different cold when you're in like the spring cold.
Yes.
There's the anticipation.
Correct.
Of like, yeah, I'm willing to do this at 30, 35 now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe not the end of October. We're maybe closing it down.
Sure.
But... You get a spring 35 sunny day, no wind. Where do I sign?
Yeah, I'm going to be out there. But as we sit here on the PGA Tour, we just went through, again, probably the biggest thing, which is Rolap. Is there a most surprising story that maybe sticks out to you?
Yeah. I think the obvious one in regards to Rolap, you know, not just his vision for the future, was how easy he made it for Brooks Koepka to come back.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the one where I was like, wow, we're just going to kind of like forget about the last few years. And we are going to make this, I don't want to say easy, because like Brooks has to earn his way back. He had to pay a significant financial penalty. Mm-hmm. But Rolap, instead of, you know, cursing at the other league, he said, no, like, come back.
And open the door for other players to do so as well.
And made a very specific guidelines.
Yep.
Like, there were 5 guys he was targeting, which I get. That's the only people that matter
mm-hmm.
to his tour are the big names. And he made it possible for those guys, and some couldn't because of contracts that they signed, and they always thought that they were playing chess. And this was, I think, in my opinion, Rolap's way, or the PGA Tour's way, again, of reinforcing that you're not as smart as you think you are, but to the guys who want to come back... We're going to make it easier for you to come back, and we're going to see Brooks Koepka immediately, and we're going to see Patrick Reed as soon as mid-August.
I mean, tip of the cap, as much as over the 5 years previously that we've done this show, as much of not a fan I've been of Patrick Reed, you can't help but respect what he's doing.
He might have, like, the great character shift in golf. I don't want to say people are going to be excited, like, fired up for Reed, but they're not going to... You know, MF him around a golf course.
Yeah, until he tries to cheat again. And then, you know, we're going to be back to where we were. Alleged cheating,
like,
I guess.
He went out there and just won.
Yeah, no, he went out there. He went twice.
He golfed his ball in the DP World Tour.
Yes.
He knew that was his path back and his fastest path back. And he went out there and he won.
Yes. And that's why I respect it. Goes, okay.
Yeah.
And the dude, he's got a little Billy Horschel. Because Billy Horschel, like, for whatever reason, loves the DP World Tour as well. Like, in the fall, is just constantly making starts over there. It's awesome. And Patrick went, okay, this is what I have to do to get back to the PGA Tour. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I have to do. Okay.
Yeah. It reminds me of, like, what Ryan Gerard went and did in the offseason to find his way into the Masters.
Yes. oh, this place has world ranking points?
Yep.
I'm going to fly there. I'm going to play in this so I get in the top 50 so I secure my spot at Augusta.
Because, yeah, I think that's what Liv ruined about the game more than anything is it gave these guys false sense of what they were worth.
Yes.
And that set the game back significantly. And now we're starting to be like, all right, you want to come back? Go win.
Mm-hmm.
But even Brooks Koepka, you want to come back? Yeah, we're going to make it. We're going to throw a parade. We're going to roll out the red carpet for you at Farmers.
put it on ESPN.
Put it on ESPN for the first time in 20 years. But you got to go win.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing Brooks Koepka play every single week now because he realizes he has to get through on the next five or the swing 10 and find his way back in if he's not going to win. And results matter. And that's what Rolap is saying.
Yeah. And he's putting his money where his mouth is in terms of some of that stuff. And I guess for me, the surprising part, I wouldn't say it's a complete heel turn, but John Rahm's making it easier for me to root against him.
Yeah.
Just making it easier and easier for me to root against him. Because
what's it about again? It's about the money.
Yeah. And I guess it's all about him.
Yeah. It's the quickest way to get people to dislike you when you make it about the money, like, in my opinion.
Because again, I feel like there was a right way and a wrong way to kind of go to live, right? I would say that Brooks, while I didn't like him going there. He just kind of took the money and didn't really say much.
Same with Dustin.
And Brooks never even like bought into the team stuff.
No.
Like didn't wear the
Kept
team
his
logo.
Nike deal through it. Yeah.
You know, then there was what Bryson did and be one of the leading names, what Phil did, be one of the leading names in the lawsuit against the PGA Tour and throw it. So, you know, being a little bit more boisterous about it. And Rahm went at a different time than those guys did. And Rahm went, if you're putting everything together, connecting dots, seemingly he thought he could be a domino that would push towards whatever a merger looks like. Obviously, that did not happen, but he cut a boatload of money out of it. And all the other guys on the DP World Tour decided, yep, we're going to accept our fate. We're going to pay fines. We're going to accept so we can keep our memberships. We're going to play the six events they're requesting us instead of the four. And he's sitting over there, like, throwing a hissy fit.
Yeah.
Like, pay your fines.
After he made $500 million, allegedly.
Yeah.
Join Liv.
And he's sitting there going, oh, why do I have to do this? I don't know, John, why do you? Because you tried to actively make this whole thing worse. So yeah, instead of having to play four, if you're a member of the PGA Tour like Rory or Matthew Fitzpatrick or any of the other guys, yeah, you got to play six and you got to play two that they want. Otherwise, no Ryder Cup.
Yep.
And he's decided that he's dropped everything.
I mean, Rory, his teammate, his friend has even publicly spoken out against how Rahm has behaved through this entire thing.
And it would be one thing if, you know, like Tyrrell Hatton, who is on his Liv team, accepted the penalties put down by the DP World Tour. Went, okay, I'll play six. Okay, if that's what you want, that's what I'm going to do. And everybody else has decided that they are going to play by those rules, and he's decided, nope, I don't have to.
Yeah.
Then he's daring them, and he ain't going to win.
Yeah.
I don't think he's playing the Ryder Cup in 2 years, which is a shame. Team Europe, unfortunately, probably doesn't need him. Still going to kick our ass. That's probably going to happen.
Luke Donald's doing it again.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, now you get it, don't you? Now you get it.
What about for you? What was the most surprising storyline?
I think it's Rahm kind of, you know, becoming more of a heel, bit more of a villain, easier for me to root against him. Like, I felt I was rooting for him at the PGA last year as he was trying to make that run and try to chase down Scotty at Quail. If we find ourselves in that situation again, I ain't rooting for him. Easy to root against now.
Yeah.
When you kind of act like that. And honestly, if we're
going... So are you a bigger Bryson fan than a Rahm fan right now? Because this would be quite a turn.
Probably. I mean, I don't want either one of them to win.
We have that on the record?
Yeah.
Gabe Knight's a Bryson DeChambeau fan?
No. Whoa. Now you're putting words in my mouth.
Yeah.
No, we're...
I was just waiting for a yes or no.
Bridge too far.
You're allowed to say
like,
no.
However low the list is, Rahm's below. I mean, Bryson's right, you know, right above him.
Yeah.
I mean, just Rahm's barely below him. I'm not rooting for either one of them to win a major championship or anything crazy this year.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, we're not doing that. But I do want to give a shout-out to Chris Goddard. I mean, him winning twice this year.
Yeah.
I think... The PGA Tour for a good chunk now has kind of been Rory, Scotty, Rahm's gone, but Rory and Scotty, You know, and Rory solidified his place, winning a major. You know, Schauffele, Xander winning two majors kind of threw himself in that conversation. But I think the emergence of these first 10 events of Chris Goddard, Akshay Bhatia, and then Cam Young, and I know Cam won last year. You know, he's Mr. 1000,
yep.
Winning, you know, the 1000th unique winner on PGA Tour, winning that last year. But solidifying it by winning the Players this year, I think the emergence of those three is going to make, yeah, feel free.
Jacob Bridgman.
Yeah. Oh,
winner
yes.
of the Genesis. Mm-hmm. Hasn't
Absolutely.
Finished worse than tied for 18th this
yeah.
year. Tied for 5th, the Players.
So there are some younger or less established players,
yeah.
you know, that are starting to play some really damn good golf going into major championship season.
Yeah. Actually,
and that makes me
only
excited.
24.
Yeah. But it feels like he's been around forever because he turned pro at 18.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about a guy that went out there and grinded and
yeah.
won and earned the spot that he has now? Akshay is certainly one of those guys.
Yeah, for sure.
And
it's been a fun start to the PGA Tour season. I mean, through 10 weeks, you've got a win from Scottie Scheffler. You've mm-hmm. got a win for Colin Morikawa. You know, that was a big win for him at Pebble after a really down year last year.
You kind of feel for him with the back injury.
Yeah.
At the Players.
And then you've got kind of this up-and-coming group, like Goddard is for real.
Mm-hmm.
He could pick off a major this year.
Yeah.
You've got Bridgman, he's number one of the FedEx Cup points through 10 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody had that on their bingo card to start off the year. And then Cam Young, I think Cam Young is going to have, the lid is off.
He's one of the most talented players out there.
Yeah.
It's about putting it all together for him.
Yep.
And he's finally starting to kind of do that and put it all together, certainly, on the PGA Tour side. It's a long opening drive, but we had a lot of things to dive into, brought to us by our friends at Ewald Automotive. Their 62nd anniversary sale going on right now. Check it all out, all the great things that they have going on. Over 1,400 vehicles and are $250 a month. Maybe you can get that 0% financing as well. Just head over to ewaldauto.com. More on the tee coming your way next.
No ifs, ands, or buts. There's more On the Tee with Gabe and Steven coming up on 94.5 ESPN.
Time for a little Gerber Loftus, one call, that's all, here on the Tee season premiere. Although, Steven, you've got us a couple different categories. We're going to make a one call, that's all. Gerber Loftus is one call, that's all.
Yeah, you know, we're 10 weeks into the PGA Tour season, we kind of have to do it in fast forward to catch up on all the great memories that we mm-hmm. witnessed through the first couple of months. So we're going to do best course, best shot, best finish. So
Okay. Let's
start best course so far on the PGA Tour through 10 weeks.
Best course, I am going to say TPC Sawgrass, just because I feel like they got it. It was the best I can remember seeing it, right? The fairways were fast and firm. You had to hit accurate shots. The way they grew up the rough, it was a true penalty. Because then there were some holes that are short gettable holes, but if you don't hit it in the fairway, then you're not able to attack the pin locations. And the firmness certainly, I think, factored into the championship and how difficult that course was playing. And they were able to kind of straddle the line of making it difficult but not losing control, and they made good shots matter. And I thought that was that's something that a lot of times the PGA Tour is missing, where a lot of times, especially some of these non-signature events,
yeah,
just kind of hit it wherever you want, get it up there near the green, you'll get it up and down. That wasn't the case at the Players. And if they're serious about trying to make that a major, which I don't think they'll ever do, that's the way TPC Sawgrass needs to play each and every year. Now, sometimes you get rain, and that's out of your control. But they were able to, I mean, they got some rain.
They got rain.
And they still were able to keep that thing firm and fast.
Yeah. There's a reason the PGA Tour calls it its major, is because they spent an entire year just getting that place dialed in. I agree with you. It's hard to not pick Pebble Beach just because of the history and the aesthetics and how good it looks on TV. But these guys, like, just getting to 25 under at Pebble, it's hard. It's
yeah.
hard as a fan, and there's nothing else they can do about it anymore.
Well, the tee box on 6 is now on, what is that, 14?
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, the tiny greens, but, you know, they can't make those greens super fast
mm-hmm.
because the ball will blow into the ocean. But what they're able to do at Sawgrass, and there was I know it's something you can't control, which is the weather, but I loved how the weather was turned up a little bit for, you know, the weekend.
Yeah, a little bit more wind.
The wind
which
on
makes
Sunday
those...
made such a fascinating design by Pete Dye play even harder and tougher. You know, the water on 18, you could just see the ripples on that shot. And you know, I thought the coverage of NBC and the way that they covered the final couple of holes, too, down the stretch. 17 was their centerpiece, and that showed well on TV, and they did a great job kind of building drama with great statistics of that. You know, I'm always fascinated to see how the technology evolves on the telecast every single year. But I think this is the best we've ever seen TPC Sawgrass.
Yeah, so that's easy for me.
Yeah.
What's next?
Best finish.
So I feel, I mean, the Florida Swing had outlandish finishes. It may be the worst finish, which is why it's the best finish, but I'm going to say the Cognizant.
Okay.
Because that's the one that just left me with some of the other finishes we saw. And like the Akshay at Bay Hill, I mean, that was fantastic with him and Berger going down the stretch and happening on 18 and that was fantastic. But I didn't expect Shane Lowry, player of that caliber, to hit the shots he did on 16 and 17.
He was the only person to find the water on 16.
And it wasn't even close.
With an iron.
With an iron. Like, it wasn't even, it was hosel adjacent. It wasn't quite a shank, but it was hosel adjacent. And I think that was just the most shocking thing to me, was how that finished. And to have the video of him looking at his caddy being like, man, I got the winning point in the Ryder Cup. How am I this nervous? And no offense to the Cognizant, but it's not winning the Ryder Cup and everything that goes into that, obviously. Yeah. And he's like, how am I this nervous? Because not only did he do it on 16, I mean, he almost hit it where Charlie Hoffman hit it on 17 when you called it and when he shanked it.
Oh, come on. We're bringing that back again this year.
I mean, I brought up the Cognizant. I had to mention it.
That's fair. You know what's funny about that? I actually played PGA National on the simulator recently.
Okay, yeah.
And I took a picture of that hole, just always have, just to know that was the house that Charlie Hoffman hit. And my first time doing play-by-play on PGA Tour Live, I went viral for saying.
So, yeah, I'm gonna say the Cognizant was, just because, honestly, I mean, we see guys lose, you know, a couple of shot lead here and there all the time on the PGA Tour. But to happen to a guy that caliber, and maybe I just loved Shane opening up and talking about what it would have meant to win and some of the things he was thinking about. Like, he wanted to win for his daughter and have her run out onto the green with him, and what a cool moment he thought that would be. So I'm going to say Cognizant and Shane choking it away.
Yeah, I mean, three straight weeks on the Florida Swing. It was incredible. I'm going to go with the middle week at Bay Hill.
Okay.
I just thought the drama of that course, you know, the way that Arnold Palmer, his slogan there, you have to play boldly to win, and what we saw from Akshay Bhatia to chase down Daniel Berger on the final day. I mean, Berger was looking to become the third ever to win it wire to wire. And his approach shots were some of the best I've ever seen on the PGA Tour that week. I mean, he was just throwing darts. And it was a spectacle, and it was good to see Daniel Berger back in that form. He's one of the great players of the last 15 years that nobody talks about. And
he just fell in love with that, like, stinger driver.
Yeah, like,
and
slap driver. And the one place you can't miss on 18 is the right rough.
Yeah.
And the statistics will show that it's the worst place to play from with your second shot. And he found it on consecutive holes on 18. And then he found it again in the playoff hole. And, you know, what he did on 18 to force the playoff
was incredible.
It's going to be forgotten.
Yes, but he was an incredible up and down.
For him to get up and down and make that 13-footer to force the playoff with Akshay was unbelievable. I'll even back it up to the beginning of that Sunday where they had to finish the third round.
Yeah.
And it was Berger and Akshay. And
Two-shot swing.
Yeah, and it was Berger who made bogey and Akshay who made birdie. And just like that, it set the tone for that entire Sunday finish. And I loved what I saw out of Akshay because I've watched him crumble a lot in the last couple of years after he picked off two pretty quick ones in his career, and he comes back and he takes arguably the toughest test, one of the top three toughest tests on the PGA Tour, and he goes out there and goes 5-under on his back nine. Good work by Akshay. It was fun to watch.
Quickly, our last one, call that's all.
Best shot?
Akshay's 6-iron on 16 at Bay Hill.
Yeah.
That I mean, he almost holed it, and he didn't mean to hit it that close. He called it a professional push. after, but it was still the best shot, I think, that, I mean, it just, I couldn't believe that. I mean, that was really close to flirting with disaster.
Yeah.
And ends up getting a tap-in eagle.
We talked about nerves on the final hole of the first two legs of the Florida swing.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine what the nerves that Cameron Young would have felt on 18 before he hit a 375-yard drive, arguably the best drive we've ever seen on that hole at TPC Sawgrass? Mm-hmm. That's my best shot, was him making birdie on 17, stepping on the tee box with a chance to win the Players, and hits the longest recorded drive in the ShotLink era on 18 at TPC Sawgrass, sets himself up to make that stress-free par and win the Players.
Yeah, pretty incredible. Pretty incredible. Certainly a great start to the PGA Tour season. Great start here on the tee, and we wrap it up for you coming up next on 94.5 ESPN.
Forget about changing that dial. More on the tee with Gabe and Steven next on 94.5 ESPN.
Every so often on the tee, I'll have an idea or Steven will have an idea, and then we don't tell each other what that idea is. We want the genuine reaction. So I don't know what this is. But, Steven, you said, hey, you know, last segment, I got this. So what do we got here in the final segment of the season premiere of On the Tee?
Well, and watch a little TGL.
Okay.
Big Cat's back tonight.
He is, yes.
And I just watched him hit a stinger.
Mm-hmm.
Better than any player has hit a stinger on the stinger hole.
Of course.
This year.
Naturally.
He also hit a 275-yard drive to 24 feet. Is he playing?
At this point, I think so. Now, with the Big Cat, with Tiger, you never seem to know until the Friday before the event, because he will wait until the last second to withdraw. But things seem to be trending in the direction of him playing at Augusta.
How do you feel about it?
I feel good about it. Like, I just hope he's healthy. And I know he, at the Genesis, had kind of teased that, you know, maybe, I guess it wasn't really much of a tease. I think it was kind of a statement that if he feels healthy enough, I think the Champions Tour is certainly a possibility for him, because he does not feel bad about taking, as he calls it, a buggy or a, you know, cart out there. Maybe that means we see him in Madison. Maybe he commits to that.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
I mean, and you know he would partner with Steve.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only way that would happen, but maybe, fingers crossed, that happens. You know, Tiger returns to the great state of Wisconsin.
I'll submit my credential now.
Yeah, right now. So, again, I think he's healthy. I just don't think he can swing it and feel good enough over the course of 4 days to, like, truly compete.
Yeah. So there are a lot of people who don't want to see him do it.
Mm-hmm.
To those people, I say you're crazy. Like, if Tiger is going to put himself in a tournament, mm-hmm. he feels good enough to play.
Yeah.
I don't think that he has the ego that we've seen of some other greats to not be able to let go.
Mm-hmm.
I think he genuinely cares about performing well on that stage. And if he's ready to play, I'll watch every shot.
Because he still has, again, he's not going to be on the front page of that leaderboard on Sunday, and I'm fine with that. Especially at Augusta, where he knows that course as good or probably better than anybody in the field, let's be honest. He still has some magic left there. Like, he's going to hit some shots where you go, I can't believe that just happened.
It's why we're obsessed with Jordan Spieth still, too.
Oh, yeah, because he has those great shots. Now, he might follow up that great shot that he stuffs it in there, something with a bogey or a double, because, again, his body's going to betray him.
Yep.
That's just the way it is with Tiger. But that magic still exists, and those fleeting moments. That's why I can't let go of Jordan Spieth.
Yeah. Either.
Those fleeting moments.
Justin Thomas. Yeah. Another guy.
Where they just hit these incredible shots, you go, oh, okay, there's still something magical here. And, again, I don't think he can do it over 72 holes. But I think he can produce enough magic moments over 18 where you're gonna leave smiling because you were entertained.
Yeah, I'd be fascinated to know what his thinking was with TGL, like with his team losing last night and him saying, I'm coming back to try and force this into a third night. If that was always part of the plan just to mm-hmm. help ratings, or if it was him being like, you know what, I actually feel okay. If we don't win the first one, I'm coming back for the second one.
Well, so part of the problem is Akshay's playing over in India for the Indian Open. This week on the DP World Tour. And I don't know, I mean, if Kiz, I mean, he's kind of been in and out of that lineup too. He's not even a full-time golfer at this point. So I don't know if he had to play out of necessity.
I mean, Sahith's going to play Houston this week.
Yeah, that's true. But again, from what we've seen so far tonight, he looks like he can play. And
simulator golf. We don't know if he can walk. He can definitely swing.
Yeah, he can. Which is step one, because we're not even just talking about his leg. He just had his. I mean, he's got more back surgeries than Green Jackets at this point.
Yeah, that's a wild way to put it.
That's not good. So to me, it's okay. How does he look? Because the leg, it's going to give him issues. But he was able to walk on it before. It was the Achilles, and now it was the back. So with the back, can he swing full? He's looking all right on TGL tonight.
Yeah. Can I say something really quickly?
Please.
Season premiere. I am so fired up to have golf back.
We don't
have to talk about the stupid other tour for the first couple of weeks. Like, the PGA Tour is back.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fun year, man.
It's going to be a great year. I think the majors are going to be a lot of fun. I know you're excited because the PGA, you get to go home to Philly.
Yeah.
You're going to be part of the coverage for that. And everything else should be pretty fun. It is going to be a great year. Hopefully you stick along with us every Tuesday night here on the T on 94.5 ESPN.